I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling. I just think God's got us positioned right where we're at for an exact moment of outpouring. I think the Lord has just positioned us, what we'll talk about here in a minute, right where He wants us. I think God's got us right in the right place at the right time. And that song says, an outpouring of revival. God has this. Church, God has this. Make no mistake at all. Nothing catches heaven by surprise. God still is in control. He still calls the shots. He still says what happens to my life and yours. No matter what it looks like, God is in the middle of it all. And the Church of Jesus Christ is just positioned perfectly to speak life to the world that's fearful. You have the most powerful position you have ever had in your lifetime. What are you going to do with it? Where do we go now? God has an assignment for you. The time is right now. This is the divine time. For the next 2 weeks, we'll talk about that. Let's pray and believe, as we always do, that God is in control. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that no matter what our eyes see, no matter what our ears hear, you are in control. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing we see on television rattles our faith. We thank you, Lord God, that we go to heaven in our prayer time to seek your face, hear from you. What do you want us to do and where do you want us to go? Father, we thank you that there's hope in a hopeless world. We thank you, Lord God, that you sit on the throne and you're in control. So Lord God, as I pray every single day, especially on your day today, Lord, have your way again. Lord God, pour out your power. Speak to your people. Give us the outpouring that we need for today. And Lord God, we'll honor you and bless you just like we always do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Give somebody a holy wave and tell them, scream at them, hey, thanks for coming to church. Thank you. You know, there are many people, as you know, that aren't feeling comfortable to come into the house because of the latest mandate from our state office to put on a mask. And thank you for honoring that request here at this church. And we just appreciate you for doing that. But I tell you, someone asked me here, a few weeks ago, Pastor, are we going to close church down again? I said, no way. Nope, we're not going to close. No. I just don't believe it's going to happen. I just don't believe. Now, I'm going to be a good citizen and follow the leadership. And, you know, the Bible speaks, and we know as good believers that, you know, we obey the laws of the land, right? We obey the leadership ahead of us, above us, and whatnot, unless it conflicts with the Word of God. I'm going to follow the Word of God, you know, but wearing a mask doesn't conflict with the Word of God. And so, you know, I'm not going to be fearful, but we're going to just continue to have church just like we've been doing all along. And I hope you're okay with that. Yeah. We could still come into God's house and get excited. And I want to welcome, there are so many people watching us online, and I just want to say hello to you, and we love you. And I know that Tim and Michaela Longbreak are watching from California. If you remember the story, Michaela's in the Marines, and Tim headed out west, and we spoke with them. You know, I love technology. If you haven't figured that out, your pastor's kind of into technology yet, then I don't know where you've been, right? But I just think it really is a great tool to get the gospel out. And we had the opportunity to speak with them on one of those many platforms, FaceTime, right? You got an iPhone or something, you can FaceTime people and talk to them. And And we were doing that this past week, and we got to see them in their nice, beautiful Airbnb home. Tim, you did good. You did good. And they said, hey, we watch you. It's 7 o'clock out here in California. We watch you. And I said, yeah, we were kind of thinking about that, Nicole and I. You know, it's really early for them to get up. And, you know, it's kind of funny because Marines are up early. So if you're married to a Marine, guess what? You're going to get up early, right? Oh, I tell you, what a week. But I just, what a Friday night. If you were here for the barbecue, it was awesome. We just came and, you know, took our, you know, the Rangers and Chuck Harlow stoked a fire for us. And, you know, it was only 97 degrees or something. I don't know. It was warm, but we still had a fire, right? And it was good. The food was good. And I heard the testimony that we only purchased so much hamburgers and hot dogs and buns and all that. And a whole lot more people showed up than we ever anticipated. You know, we didn't sign up because normally we sign up for barbecues and things like that. The numbers don't match up too close. So we thought, let's just come together and people show up. Great. So we bought quite a bit of food, right? Guess what? Right at the end, we're running out of food. And our griller, Tim Lee Alley, the keyboard player, was saying, I don't know where the hamburgers and hot dogs are coming from and the buns, but people keep coming and they keep showing up. And, you know, Val, give me a wave. Tim, give me a wave. That's exactly what was going on. And right at the end, we're out of people. And guess what? Tim, how many hamburgers do we have left over?
Zero.
Zero. So we did okay. So thank you for coming to the barbecue on Friday night. We love you for doing that. Hey, you are in the right place at the right time. You know, I hear this, and I grew up listening to this, and my mom would say, Brad, you're right where you're supposed to be. And I really didn't understand that a lot, but I just believe my mom was right. I was at the right place at the right time doing exactly, I'm good with that, right? We just came off of four weeks talking about the sermon series of our mission. I'm going to go through of living loud. Remember, we talked about that. We spoke on living loud. That was the mission, to live loud. And who are you and what do you stand for? And we talked about living on the edge and taking some risk for God. And, you know, some of you feel like that's what we're doing today. You know, we're coming into church. And let me tell you something. There's no difference from last Sunday to this Sunday, except for the state wants us to wear masks, and we're going to do that. But as far as what's going on in our community, you know, I read the news, and I don't know. I'm a news guy, and I read a lot, and it says that things in Stark County are a lot better today than they were last week. Now, did I not read that right? You know, they got these levels now of, you know, level 1 through 4 or something, I think, and we were at a level 2, almost a level 3 last Sunday, but today we're at a level 1. So, you know, and that was before the mask thing. So, we'll be fine. I'm not saying there's not something out there, that's for sure, but I'm just saying I just think God's got this, right? We're going to continue to live loud, and we live loud by talking about living in your lane, the assignment that God gave us, right? We talked about living loud last week. Let your faith arise. This is the time to let your faith arise. This is the time. But then I hear, Pastor, where do we go? What's the next step after this? Well, I told you in the series, you live loud in your circle of influence, your friends, your family, whoever you come into contact with every day throughout the week, you live loud. Where is the next step? What is the next step? Especially in this season, what do we do now? And, you know, many of you, if not all of you, rose your hand. Is that right, English? Rose your hand? Raised your hand last week and said, I'm going to live loud or live louder. I'm going to get the word out more today than I ever had. And the next step is God's divine time, which is today. Today's God's divine time. You know, during my prayer time, I say, God, where do I go with my sermon series, and you know, and God just spoke to me. He always speaks to me. It's kind of funny. When you go ask God to speak to you, God speaks to you. Because the Bible says if you just go in and ask him, he'll do it for you, and that's exactly what I do. And, you know, I have my sermon series is, you know, laid out, and God speaks something to me, and I go to my iPad, and I put it in there and say, okay, God, and God just has this way, and today is just a divine time that we're going to talk about. Not yet. You're ahead of me on my slides. Not yet. Not yet. Thank you. I know we want to get through this. It's that good, right? You know, what does that divine time really mean, though? Right? What does that really mean? Right place, right time. Right? What does that mean? Let me give you a quick little story. You know, it's a baseball story. Hey, if you're into baseball, the Indians in the Major League started playing this last week. Right? Yep. I know we got big fans in this church. I love baseball, and I turned on the TV, and the stands were packed with cardboard people. Yeah, they put cardboard cutouts in the stands, and they're piping music in because there's no fans allowed. But the Major League has a 60-game season, and our beloved Indians here, 60 miles up the road, won their first game, right? And so, yeah. It's great, you know, and baseball was upon us, and they're going to play, and we're going to watch on TV, and I'm watching the other day, and the crowd's going crazy, and, you know, I'm thinking, but there's no fans because they're just turning the dial up a little bit. That's what they do. But it's a baseball thing. But let me tell you what happens in baseball, because, you know, I'm a baseball guy, and I play, and I got to play yesterday. I got to go play in a baseball game. It was fun. 1 o'clock up in Akron, I got to actually go up and play a baseball game, and there's this thing that happens in baseball. You're a baseball fan. If you've ever played, you'll understand what I'm about to explain to you. But here's what happens in baseball. You know, the batter gets up to the plate, and there's a really intense situation going on, like what happened yesterday. We're back and forth in the score. You know, we're up, they're up, back and forth, you know. But we get about the sixth or seventh inning, the bases are loaded, and here comes the pastor to the plate. You know, one out, bases loaded, and here I come. Now, you think something like monumental is about to happen, right? Like I hit a grand slam. You would be correct. No, you would not be correct. That would not be. That's not what happened. But I hear this phrase that you hear a lot. Right place, right time. As I'm walking up to the plate, I hear it. Right place, right time. And it was like this thing from heaven said, but you know, we hear it a lot in baseball. Sometimes they say, right man, right time. And what's that saying? You're the guy at this divine moment that's selected to go to the plate and do something special right here. You are the chosen person to be in that position. That's what your teammates are rallying around, regardless of whether you're the better hitter on the team or best hitter, which I am not. The best hitter. I'm not the worst, but I'm certainly not the best. You know, so I'm up there, and I crack a long fly ball to the left, and he caught it. I'm out. But the run scored, and the rally starts. You know, we won big. But that's exactly what God does with me in my life. That's exactly what he does. He says, at times, you are the right person at the right time, and here's what I have to do for you. This is your divine time. Right place, right time. And that's what we're talking about today, and that is me, and that is you. It happened this past week. I coordinated a coffee get-together with some of my friends, and you know, we decided to go to a different location, and we get there, and only I showed up and one other guy. Okay? And I guess no one else showed up. And so we get to talking, and he's a believer. He gets to talking, I get to talking, and one thing leads to another, and I look, we had been in the meeting, coffee meeting here for like 2.5 hours. And I spoke some things to him. And he says to me, you know, this is a divine moment. This was meant to be, that nobody else showed up so I could speak to you and hear what you had to say for my life. It was just this, and I knew I was speaking on this week, and it was this orchestrated situation, this position that we both were in at that time, Several other guys were supposed to be there. They just didn't show up. But here it is, the pastor to another believer, and he really had some things that was really bothering him. And he wanted to share those with me, and he wanted my thoughts. That's divine time. Right place, right time. That's exactly what happens. So what is this divine time? It's the exact situation at the exact time that God wants for you. The exact time, the exact place. He puts us together. The problem is sometimes we just don't recognize it. Now, I don't think God places me in a position to go up to the plate and hit some big hit. I don't think that, but I think God put me at a coffee shop with one other guy to speak life to him because of a pretty serious situation he was dealing with. That's divine timing, right? Right at the exact situation, the exact time that God puts together for me and him was divine, right? How do you get to that point? How do you get to that moment? Well, you know, sometimes it's just God ordained. Sometimes you just show up and God says, okay. Sometimes you just go to the plate, the bases are loaded, and God says, your faithfulness, you're not fearful, just go up there and do what you got to do, and God blesses the moment, right? Sure. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. You hear that phrase that timing is everything. Well, you know, that's kind of sometimes that's just a little lucky. But other times, a lot of times, it's because God takes the believer and says, right place, right time for them. I am absolutely convinced of it. And I'm going to show you in the scripture here in a few minutes exactly how that works. And some things are going to be revealed to you that you've never heard before, I pray, right? It's more than just luck, especially in the life of a believer. It's more than just luck. There's a couple things that happen. It's about positioning and being repositioned. Now, positioning happens when God says, I'm going to place you in this position, right place, right time, position. Other times, it's repositioned when you and I say, I need to change from where I'm at to where I got to be. I got to make this shift. We talked about lane shifting here a few weeks ago. I've got to make this shift. And you start feeling like I've got to reposition from where I'm at to where I need to be. Because you feel, as a believer especially, you're feeling that there's a change coming. How many have ever changed jobs? Right? Yeah. Sometimes you just feel like it's time. Our oldest just changed jobs. You just feel like it's time for whatever reason. You reposition. We're going to talk about repositioning next week. But let me give you some examples of this divine stuff. You know, ever hear this expression? I got it in my notes. I'm blessed to be in this position. Ever hear that? Yeah. I'm just blessed to be in the position I'm in today. I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the entire planet. I'm just really blessed to be in that position, right? I'm there, right? Here's another one. That's God. That's God just blessing that position. I'm in a position of strength. Ever hear that one? Pastor, I'm just in a position of strength. I got this. I'm there. I'm just in this position of strength. And here's another one. Put yourself in my position, someone says, right? Or put yourself in my shoes. Normally, that's kind of like the negative one. Right? Things are going really rough. Oh, man, put yourself in my position. Put yourself in my shoes. You're just not walking my shoes, you know? Here's another one that's kind of more on the negative side. I wouldn't want to be in your position. I wouldn't want to be you. You're going through all this stuff. I don't want to be you. You heard that one, right? There's so many more. So many more, but those are the ones that I kind of thought about when I was taking some notes and preparing for today, and I thought, those are the ones I hear. And I've heard that before. I don't want to be in your position. And I've heard, you're in a great position, right? Here's a thought. Sometimes we spend more time trying to get out of the situation, realizing why we're there in the first place. We try to get out of the situation, then realizing why we're in it in the first place. I find myself have done that. I'm in a situation, a position that I end up in, and I try to get out of it, and I don't stop to say, why am I here in the first place? What is God telling me? I'm in this situation, and I'm trying to get out. I got a great story for you here in a few minutes. I don't even, like, give God a chance to work. I'm working to get out of it. Instead of allowing God to work me in that divine time. And I find myself working really hard to get out. And why is that? Why do I do that? Why do you do that? Because we don't like it. Or we fail to realize sometimes it takes a wrong turn to get to the right place. Now, I know some of you drivers, we talked about that a few weeks ago. We take kind of wrong turns. But I tell you what, God's GPS still gets me there. Right? God's GPS still gets me there. But I know that I've made a lot of wrong turns to get there, but I'm going to get there. My wife and I ride on a Harley. We love that. And the bike we had before didn't have a GPS on it. But I knew I could get us there right there. I'm really good with directions. Right? And I'd still get us there. Now we have one with the GPS, and I rarely use it. It's more of a bother. I make a couple wrong turns, but we end up in the place that we intended. That's exactly what it happened. But during the wrong turns, we find ourselves sometimes in life trying to get out of the situation just because we made a wrong turn. Instead of saying, what is the intention of getting to where I need to be? What is God speaking to me here? There's a divine time I'm in, and I'm in this position, and God's got me. What do I got to do? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. And here's a good story. I've been using this story for some sermons here. I used it a week or so ago about the Israeli bondage in Egypt. And I just, you know me now, I just think the story is so powerful. You know the story. We talked about it. God's people held in captivity for hundreds of years, right? And all those things of what's going on and, you know, and oppression and God's people. And when is the deliverer going to come? And you know the story. And they're just held in slavery and bondage. And they're just beat down. And that's what the Old Testament talks about, right? And God called somebody into a position at a divine time to show up and change that, right? He selects this guy to go in there and make a change. And Exodus 6:30 says it like this. Moses argued with the Lord. I can't do it. I'm not the guy for the divine time to go in and do this assignment. I can't do it. Why? I'm no speaker. Why should this Pharaoh listen to me? A very short scripture that speaks a ton about divine time and positioning. Moses argued. Pastor Brad argued with God. You argued with God. I can't do it. We lay out all our reasons why we can't do it. We put it all together, and I can't do it, and here's why. I'm just not a good speaker. I'm just not good at it. I just can't articulate things. I stutter. I don't look good. Whatever the case may be, we tell God everything. Can't do it. And even if I could, why would they listen to me? Who am I? Why would they listen? What a monumental miss for Moses initially. What a monumental miss. Relying on his own self, his own natural abilities or inabilities, and then going to the creator of the heavens and the earth and arguing, saying, I can't do it. I just can't be in that position. It's just not me. And you know that's most of us here. We've done that. It's not me, Pastor. I can't do that. I can't do that. It's just not me. Sometimes you don't know it's you until you get into the position of the right divine time. Right place, right time. You just don't know yet. Moses didn't know. Why? Because he spent more time arguing, more time saying, I can't do it because of my inabilities, than he said, God, whatever you want me to do, you'll have to equip me and I'm gone. He eventually gets to that point, right? Listen to this thought. God often selects your weakest position to do your greatest work. Now stop and think about Moses. In a weak position, can't speak very well, in an argument with God, and then saying, even if I could do it and I got this, he's not going to listen to me. And you know he's the one that led them out of captivity and did great and mighty things. Millions of people were delivered at the right time, at the right place, with the right man. And that man argued with God first. He argued with him. I just wonder what that conversation was like. God, please don't send me. I can't do this. You know it's not me. Imagine telling God, how many times have you said that? God, you know that's not me, to God. And God's saying, no, I know that's you. That's why I'm asking you in the first place. Because I know you can with me behind you. The power of the living God. God often selects your weakest position to do your greatest work. How long do we argue and discuss and fight with God because we're looking at ourselves differently than God looks at us? Completely different filter. God sees me differently than I see me. God sees you differently a lot of times than what you see yourself. In Exodus 7:1, the conversation continues. The Lord told Moses, listen, I've positioned you as a God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. I have positioned you. Now let's do a little study here about that scripture, because I love this. You know, the word listen has this definition that we all think of. What's that mean? Does that mean just pay attention? Does that mean hear what I'm saying to you? What's listen mean? Really, in the biblical sense, what's listen mean to this conversation going on? And God says, listen to me. Well, you know, the Bible was written in Hebrew, most of it, in the Old Testament, right? So, you know, you go back and you start doing some research on what does the word listen mean? And you find out. It means hear me and then obey me is what it means. Listen means hear me and then obey. So in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it says listen a lot. Hear what I'm saying and do what I'm telling you to do. And in the Hebrew, that means Shema, S-H-E-M-A. That's what it is in the Hebrew. But the funny part of it is, in the Hebrew, the word obey is kind of not really distinct in Hebrew. So when you get to the translations to where we're at now, when we see the word listen, we really don't understand what that really means. It's Shema. Listen means hear me, my children, and obey. So let's go and hear me, Moses, and go do it, is what that means. It's amazing how God opens up the scripture to make me understand more than I even realize. I read that and I say, listen, well, wait, I know that word. I know that word in the Hebrew. That's not, you know, and I start diving. Yeah, that's exactly what it means. It means listen. It means you got to obey. That's that divine time. We got to obey it, right? Here's the Hebrew translation of Exodus 7:1. Ready? It goes like this. The Lord told Moses to hear him and obey him. I've positioned you in this situation as a guide to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron's going to back you up. That's your translation. You got to listen. You got to hear me. Quit arguing with me. Obey me. Go do what you got to do. I've given you a position out of a divine time, right place, right time, and you're the guy. You are the guy. You are the lady. Today, whatever situation's going on, it is you. It is your time. You can stop making a couple of those left to right turns, get to where you need to be, and God's going to be right there in the middle of it. And I think that's exactly what's going on in our world right here, right now. This is exactly what God is waiting for us for this time, this place, us. What's the right time? Now. What's the right place? Who is it? The church of Jesus Christ. You and I. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It is our time. That's what I believe. Just like he called on Moses, just like he called on many others throughout the scripture and ordained a position of time, nothing has changed. It is just as powerful today for me and just as powerful for you. And then he speaks to Moses and says, listen, listen. Pharaoh, who's holding all my people, he's going to look at you like a god. Wait, Moses isn't a god, right? Why would he look at him like a god? Because of the position he held. The position he held. It's a powerful, powerful representation. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? The position I'm placing you in right now, Moses, I represent. I own. That position is mine. And I'm going to slide you in there because this is your divine time to slide into that position. And I don't care about your inabilities. I don't care about, all I care about is two things. All I care about is whether you're hearing me and whether you're going to obey me. That's the prerequisites. And Moses finally got it. And what does he do? He goes and meets resistance back in Egypt with Pharaoh, and they go through all these situations, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh realizes the man is a representative of God. And that God is moving. And finally, he lets the people free. Right? You know that story. And even after he lets the people go, what does he do? He chases them down. See, God creates these positions of right place, right time. And then he calls you and I and slides us in there. The perfect example is a pastor. And I'm going to get to that testimony in a minute, but the perfect representation that I could give you today right in front of you is a pastor of churches throughout the world. God has anointed the position of pastor in a local church, and he slides people into that position. And what an unbelievable responsibility, right? It's the position, the right time, the right place of the position. God ordains this position, and then he slides and puts people in it, pastors in it, just like your life. There's situations in your life that God puts you into, and sometimes we don't even realize that God placed it in there. And during our prayer time, we're arguing with God like Moses did, and let me tell you, that is not something that you have to be ashamed of, because we all do it. Moses did it, right? Talk about a big position. How do you like that one? I got a few million people down there, and I want you to go over there, and I want you to get them out. Oh, that's a position to inherit, right, to move into, right? But that was the representative of God. The person and the position are just two different things. They're just two different things. The position is the representation of God, and the person God slides in there is his representative. However, sometimes the representative doesn't do all the right things. Why? We're human. Guess what? Now, I know this is going to come to really, you know, you're not going to really get this. And my wife's going to say, that's just not so. But I make mistakes. I'm telling you, right? And my wife says, oh, no. Yeah, we do. You know, come on, a little bit of humor on a Sunday morning, but we make mistakes. But it doesn't change the position at all. The position doesn't change because the representative argued with God. The position didn't change because we said, whoa, I don't have the physical abilities or mental acumen or whatever the excuse is. It's not me. I can't do it. I can't do this. Whatever. The position stays the same. And guess what? The ask or the request doesn't change either. You just delay the reward. The longer we argue, the longer we look at our inside of us, it just delays it longer and longer. You think God's going to change his mind? If we just absolutely refuse to slide into the position, God will go look for somebody else finally because it's, wow, I'm telling you that's you. I'm blessing you that's you. I'm going to make a way that it's you. Don't worry about it. Walk in faith and just go. Why? That's the second thing of the Hebrew word listen, to obey. Go. And what did I just preach on a couple weeks ago? Live on the edge, take a risk. And there it is. At the divine time, the right place, right time, God will make a way. I've heard many of your stories. Kim Heater gave us a great testimony that she allowed me to use about changing jobs. I know many of you have changed jobs, and you're saying, wow, that's great. Our oldest changed jobs, and it looked really bad going to the change of jobs, and it just looked like the outlook was bleak, but really it looks a lot better today after a week of being in the new job. Looks pretty good. Won't be perfect. No job is. I tell the kids the rule is 80-20. If you like 80% of your job and you don't like the other 20%, you got a good job, right? Because it's not always great. That's why they call it work. Work. Got to work, right? Here's a thought for you. God places you in the right place at the right time, regardless of whether you feel you're the person for the assignment or not. Thank you. God places you in the right place at the right time, regardless of whether you feel you're the person for the job. So here's the position that God ordained, and he wants you to fill it. And that's why Moses argued, because he didn't see it. And nowhere does it say God wants you to see it before you accept it. Somebody say amen. Nowhere does it say you've got to see it and understand it and accept it before God says, here it is. No, it's the exact opposite. Here it is. Listen, hear it and obey it. Let's go. That's what it says. To be successful in the position, you got to hear it and obey it, right? Moses did what? He finally obeyed. Why? How did he obey? He went. He just said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go. I can just see it. You know, I've read the story so many times, so many of you have as well. As he walked through the desert heading back to Egypt, and every step, and he, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And, you know, and you know the story. He didn't speak well, and he even said to God, I am not a speaker. But I'll give you your sidekick here, Aaron. He'll help you out. He'll speak for you. Or he'll do for you. It just seems like when we have something that we're not really good at, God slides something in there that says, here, someone's got your back. Right? I got a whole bunch of people in this church like that. I got a whole bunch of people up here that do that really well. I got people sitting up there in the sound booth in the media department right now that do this really well. Many of you do this really well. We got security now in the church that do this really well. We got people that say, Pastor, I got your back. Things that I'm not good at, they are much better than me. And I want to slide them into that position. I need the nursery administrator. Betty Harsh said, I'll do it. I've had Betty help me. I know you're out there somewhere, 30-some grandchildren or something. Boy, you've got that many grandchildren, you can run a nursery, right? Right? God has prepared you for that. Oh, wait, wait. We're not there yet, Pastor, right? But you got to obey. Let me give you a quick testimony here. I may have said this before to you. My apologies if I have. Our pulpit search committee here from almost three years ago, did you realize my wife and I will be here 3 years as your pastor the first Sunday of January? It'll be 3 years. And I didn't have hair back then, right? And I'm not going to have hair in three more years either. So, you know, you got what you got, right? But I want to tell you how I landed here in this position. It's a great story, and I'll only take a minute of your time on it if you don't know it. If I've said it before, my apologies. But our board knows. We come in as an interim pastor in the position of pastor here, the first Sunday of January 2018. And we served as interim for the first 6 months. And my wife and I have been doing interim pastoral ministry for, what, 11, 12 years, dear? You know, that means we were being assigned to different churches for 11 years. So we had a bunch of churches that we had pastored as an interim pastor. And we were just feeling like God says, you know, we were telling God, God, we're running out of gas, changing churches every 6 months to a year. It's tiring. And we felt that before we moved from where we were in Salem, Ohio, an hour east of here, to here. And we were just saying, God, if you want us to move someplace else other than Canton, Ohio, okay, fine, but tell us that now before we make the move. So we started saying, God, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to minister? If we're feeling this call to stop being the interim. And we have led many churches through transitions of pastoral leadership, and we were very proud of the position God placed us in, and we walked in for 11 years. But we just wanted to kind of settle. And I said, God, where do you want us to go? So we started praying that, and not one door opened up while we lived in Salem. It's a Salem thing. Sorry, Salem people. It's just got to be right. Salem, right? We move over here. And as we're moving in transition and packing boxes and physically moving, Pastor Brad gets called. Remember this, dear? Wow, talk about tents in my home. Now, I'm not going to tell you the church, but it's one of the largest churches in St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota area. 5,000 on a weekend, contacts me and says, would you consider interviewing for the executive pastor position? Second behind the lead pastor who had just been there for a couple years. 5,000 people, the largest building in the largest church building in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, Minnesota. And they asked me if I wanted to interview. I went to the boss, right? Go to the boss and dear, guess who contacted me? We can't do that. We can't talk about that position right now. Is that how it went, right? You can take off your mask and say, yeah, hallelujah, that's what happened. And so for the next weeks and weeks, there's this tension in my home about this position. And I said, I just feel God saying, you know, we've been praying about a position. So we need to what? We need to listen. We need to hear it and obey. And what's the obey? At least walk and knock on the door and go through the process and say, is this us? Is this what we're supposed to do? Investigate God's will and let's go do this. And is this the divine time? We had prayed for how long, dear? We were just praying and praying and praying and praying, right? So I started interviewing. We're down in Florida with good friends of ours, and, you know, they're saying, you know, and it's her really good friend, and I just loved what she said to her. What's the big deal, Nicole? You got to investigate God's will, or he'll never know. God won't speak to you. They're really good, strong believers. Just go through the process and obey. Hallelujah, one for the good guys, right? And it was great. But I went through the process. There's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 interviews. And between second and third, I was feeling, this ain't it. Now, what pastor wouldn't want to take on a 5,000 church, right? the executive pastor to run the ministry. My Sunday school class was 750. My Wednesday night was 1,200. You know, pastor would say, hey, that's great. I wasn't feeling it. And I went to my wife one day and said, I'm just not feeling this. So guess what we did? We settled in Canton, Ohio. We settled. You don't have to, I appreciate that, but the story's not even over. I'm just explaining, thank you for that. But here comes the next part of the story. So we're interims here. 6 months, coming on to 6 months, and God, I'm saying, we're still praying. See, we're still praying. God, what do you want us to do? You know, where do we go? What's our next assignment? Because we're not feeling we're going to do interim ministry, and we had already told the network office in Columbus we're not feeling to continue in that program. I was one of the pioneer pastors in the program, one of the first five. They asked to be in the program and help lead churches through big transitions and pastoral transitions, and I just was, that season was coming to a close. 11 years, that's good, 12 years almost, bunch of churches. So we continue to pray, say, God, where are we going to do? Where is it at? Well, you're not allowed to stay at the church that you're interim at. The rule is you're not allowed to do that. You can't stay here. You're not allowed to stay. You have to sign a paper, swear before the, you know, network, and bad word, good preaching, that you won't stay. You say, okay, it's not fair, right? You get to know the pastor and his wife, and they don't want you to stay. So we're interviewing, and, you know, so this church, we all of a sudden, all these churches start contacting us, right? They're, oh, my gosh, they're everywhere. What's going on here? You know, like a few months ago, no one wanted us. Now everybody wants us, and we're getting all these requests and calls and emails, and it's like, wow. At least I'm moving into the position I've been called to do, right? And then we started interviewing and meeting with people. Now that's something's not right there, and I'm not feeling it there, and God's not in them, you know. But at least we're going through the process, right? Well, we get this call. Well, pardon me. When we're in the old sanctuary, this church shows up. We didn't know they were coming. You didn't know they were coming. But the board and their wives, a few of them, show up. I just thought they were visitors. They're in the service. You know, I don't think the worship was stupendous that day, and I certainly know the preaching wasn't that great. But they asked us to go to lunch, and here they were, a church that wanted to come and see us. Well, that's the different kind of process. Usually you don't do that like that. You do it later in the process. And they said, hey, will you go to lunch? Here's where we are. Okay, we'll go to lunch with you. And we went to lunch with them. And long story made short, because I'm belaboring this little testimony here, but, you know, I don't know. We went out there on a Friday night. This is May of 2018 or so. We go out there on a Friday night. They offer us the church. Now, I'm a tech guy. This church was like tech everywhere. I walk in and there's cameras, and the, you know, the media department was nine people. Nine people in the media department. The media room was, dear, remember, it was bigger, about this size, right? Our platform area is that, about that size. All these people there meeting us, and there was 20 people there that night to interview us. And they offered us the church like on Monday morning. They sent us over everything. They said, we want you to be our lead pastors. Will you come and be our lead pastors? And of course, I did what I have to do. I want to pray about that. Well, the board here at Calvary Church asked us to stay. They wanted us in that position. That church over there wanted us in that position. Now I'm all messed up. I got two positions. God, where do I go? And my point to all this is divine time. Right place, right time. So the position is here, and there's two of them now. The church wanted us to stay. Not allowed to stay. It's a church on the other side of the state, which is considerably larger than Calvary. We just left there that day and went, got some dinner. Remember that, dear? And we went and got some dinner, and there's a Pentecostal group in from out of town having church right next to our table. Remember that? All these ladies speaking in tongues, and they're Pentecostal. I'm thinking, this is all God. We're probably supposed to be here, right? Didn't we talk about that? No, that's not exactly. We left there saying, this isn't the position. Calvary's the position. You know, and then I said, God, why is that? That church that we said no to was huge. Multiple buildings, a beautiful campus. From the physical, it looked great. And here's the phrase that he told me. They don't need you there. Calvary needs you and your wife. And that was enough for me. And now you're stuck with us, right? Divine time, the right place. God says, here's the position. Are you going to listen, hear it, and obey and slide in there because God says, there it is. I know I would have been successful. I would not have been successful if I would have taken this other church. It wasn't the divine time. It just wasn't. That's how it happens. And there's three keys to understanding that, and I'm going to give those to you real quick. There's three keys to God's positioning you into the right place at the right time. There's three key things that I went through, my wife went through, we go through as a family, as a pastor. Here they are. God never, ever positions perfect people. Only obedient ones. Only obedient ones. Why is that? Because the scripture teaches us the word listen in the Hebrew means to hear it and then obey it. So only the obedient ones. God knew I was going to go wherever I was going to go. He just wanted to see if I was going to be obedient. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He positioned us, but he gave us this most powerful thing called choice. He gave me the choice. And the Bible says in James 1:22, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Obey it. Do what it says. Look what it says. Don't merely listen. Don't merely hear the word. Now the Hebrew comes alive in the book of James. It says, oh, no, do what it says. What's that mean? It means obey. Okay, I'm going to obey. That's exactly what I got to do. And that's the first point. You're looking for that exact divine time in your life. You've got to be obedient. Right? Second thing, God always requires preparation before position. Listen to this scripture, church. Proverbs 28:19, getting ahead of myself, says, he who cultivates the land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless people and frivolous pursuits will have plenty of poverty. God does the planning. You do the preparing. God gives you the vision. You've got to do some work to walk in it. It takes work to do it. It takes labor to get there. You've got to prepare. We bathe it in prayer. You've got to be ready for your divine time when it's the right place, the right time. When that shows up, you got to be prepared. You've got to lay the groundwork and be ready. The very chair you sit in today was bought by somebody in this church or outside of this church, or maybe you personally. Because people pledged and all the things we did here, the vision cast, and how do we get there? We had to prepare. We had to work. I don't know. Some people today just really don't understand that concept, right? Here's the third thing. God will not position unbelief. Think about that. He's not going to position unbelief. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:19, God's not going to position unbelief. It goes like this. So we see that they were unable to enter because of their unbelief. What's that talking about? My story. It's talking about my story. Way back in the Old Testament, pulling the people out of Egypt, running them through left and right turns through the desert for 40 years. When they could have went to that straight line, as we talked about a few weeks ago, that straight line right up to Canaan, which was the promised land, right? They could have got there, but, you know, they started to have unbelief. And they died off. See, God doesn't honor your unbelief. He honors our faith. I am the right guy just because God says I am. You are the right person for your position, for your situation. Why? Because God said you are. And guess what, church? Nothing else matters. It is you. It is I. We're walking and hearing and we're obeying. And God honors that. The unbelief kept the rebellious children out of the promised land. They just didn't believe. So the position that God had for them, the Bible says, the promised land that they were going to walk into, they were going to inherit, they were going to slide in, they had to do two things. They had to hear from heaven and they had to obey that that was the position. And guess what? Their unbelief kept them from getting there. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. There is someone sitting here right now, I just feel it, contemplating sliding into another position. God has gave you this situation. You're hearing, but then we got to ask ourselves, are we listening by obeying whatever that is for you? Whatever it is. And at this time, in this situation, what goes on in our community and state and country and world, this is the big time that God would say, the divine time is now. Because everything looks so bad, everybody's going to know that it is God making the position. My wife has this saying, she said, you know, the bigger the challenge, the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the testimony that God was in the house, because there's no way I could have done it, or she could have done it, or you could have done it. It gives God bigger glory when you hear it and you obey it. It gives him a more powerful testimony, right there? And you look around and look what's going on. Our community needs you to inherit and move into a new position, whatever that is, because they need to hear from us. Are you looking in the right place at the right time? Here's the question I have for you as we close. Are we listening? Shema, are we listening? Hebrew, hearing it and then obeying it. Are we listening? I ask myself that almost every day of my life. Am I hearing what God has for me? But more importantly, am I obeying it? What do you want to hear from God today? What are you waiting on to hear? And when God speaks it to you, are you willing to obey it no matter what it is? Even if you start to argue with God, are you willing to obey? Are you ready to obey? It might not look like what you want. It might not, you might not think that's it. Whatever, it's just, you might do the arguing like Moses did. You might do all those things. But guess what? You're not going to know unless you obey. And if you obey, that's it, because that's what God said. So how could it be bad? I wonder if Moses questioned every step he took after he argued with God, like I told you, going back to Egypt. When he showed up, we know he had some doubts and some thoughts, but what did he do? He always went back to God. He always went back. Cried out to God. There's some other things to the story, but you know what I'm saying. And then you say to God today, God, how do you want me to obey? What do I got to do? And God's looking for you today. And I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. We're going to pray as we close. And I'm going to ask you a very simple couple questions. First one I'm going to ask you here in a second is, if you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, because you got to obey, accept Christ as Savior first and foremost, the most important obedience thing that we can do. Then I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do? Are you going to obey whatever God has placed on your heart, whatever position he wants you to move into, the divine time of your life, are you going to listen by hearing and obeying? Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, for these fine people here today, I pray, Lord God, that they listen. I pray here, God, that this is a divine time, as you have ordained, that today is the day. And Lord God, as you have tasked me to do, I will obey you. I will call upon those that need to hear from you and accept you as Savior. So if there's anybody here today that wants to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to continue to pray for you. Just raise your hand so I can see you. Nobody else is looking around. Is there anybody at all that wants to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Great, I've got the right group. Is there anybody here that feels God is speaking to them right here at this moment to hear what he has to say and obey what he wants you to do? If that is you, slip up your hand so I can pray with you. Is there anybody here? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. I'll give you one more second. Is there anybody here? Thank you. Push like that. Lord God, in Jesus' name, for those who raise their hands, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to bless them, anoint them, let them hear from heaven. Let them know it's a divine time in their life that you have positioned a situation for them to walk into. Lord God, I pray that they hear it and now they obey it, whatever it is. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, let's stand and close and believe that this is a divine time that God has given for you and I to be blessed at Calvary Church. Walk in faith this week, speak life to everybody, and we will see you again next Sunday at 10 o'clock.